I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of All the Small Games, a weekly indie game podcast hosted by two fine gentlemen. One of them is me, Andrew Levins, the other, John Valenzuela. How are you, friend?
I'm doing well, Levins. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. We got a bunch of announcements last week. It was like E3 all over again, except I only had to watch two showcases instead of 30. Is that, how many did
yeah.
I watch
at E3? Some bizarre amount of showcases.
We weren't even in lockdown when I did that. I've like wasted so much of my life outside of lockdown watching E3 showcases.
You could have been out running around more than 5 kilometers from your house, but
yeah, it's brutal.
Maybe that's next E3. You have to like hopefully we're out of lockdown by that point. And you're like, okay, I have to walk 100 meters. Then I get to watch a game trailer. Then I have to walk another 100 meters.
Actually, you know what? I did watch at least two of the showcases walking to and from a restaurant that was about 4 kilometers away from my accommodation where I was staying when E3 was on. So
nice.
I don't feel too bad about it.
Okay.
But I should have walked 6 kilometers, so I was outside of my radius. In fact, I was hundreds of kilometers away from my 5 kilometer radius. For those who are like, why they keep saying the word radius, in Sydney, where we record the podcast every single week, there is now a rule that we cannot leave the 5 kilometer radius around our house.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to have a lot of bush around me and a lot of like rivers and creeks and even a lake that I can walk around and travel to. Have you been enjoying the nature around you, John?
In as much as possible. There's not like, we definitely don't have anything on the level that you do in terms of bushwalks, but we do have some very nice parks around us. And
yep.
Of a weekend, we'll throw Olive in the pram and leash up Gilder and go for a walk.
Get the off-road wheels on the stroller.
For those unaware, Olive is my dog and Gilder is my daughter. So... we got a stroller with some decent suspension, so
yeah, that's great. They just announced in Melbourne that parks are closed, which is just so cruel and horrible. Like I know that, you know, lockdowns need to be taken seriously, but there was nothing worse last year than going past parks with the kids who were just so sick of the bushwalks around our house. And like you would see the park and like, you know, the swings would be wrapped around the top pole of the swing set and then chained or taped. Everything was like police taped off so you couldn't go in on it or slide down it. dark dystopian times. Yeah. But thankfully, New South Wales government, while they have fucked up almost everything to do with the Delta variant so far, they have not closed parks yet. So I am able to, my kids more importantly, have been able to maintain some amount of sanity. Archie is getting by on a strict diet of minimal school, maximum dodgeball academia, the real homeschooling.
So he is going to school of sorts.
Very true. I've been making my way through that that game on Game Pass. I talked about it last week. If you want to go back and listen to that review, if you haven't already, RPG where everything is based around dodgeball, and absolutely really love it. It's really good. It's a lot longer than I was expecting. I feel like both like two games that we're kind of going back and forth between Chicory and Dodgeball Academia, two excellent indie games this year, but two very long ones.
Right.
But man, Dodgeball Academia, like the story missions are getting like way longer and way more like Archie's learning what a fetch quest is for the first time.
Oh boy.
But they're kind of
what
fun in this.
What a special time in a young man's life.
But the dodgeball mechanics itself just get more and more complex and fun. That's pretty high up on my games of the year list for anyone that has been considering it. Yeah, it's a ton of fun.
I just copped it on Game Pass, so
nice.
I'll be going in very soon.
Yeah, so as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, there were a bunch of showcases last week. There was the ID at Xbox showcase, and Nintendo announced a new Indie World showcase. John, were you able to watch these?
I was. I wasn't. I watched the Indie World showcase.
Mm-hmm.
As is for the ID at the Xbox One, I just found like a video that was a compilation of all the games shown.
Yeah, so their way of presenting the ID at Xbox video was very strange. It was extremely long. I know Xbox don't like love to edit stuff, but it was a very long video, and the hosts were like, it was like hosted. I know that obviously I don't expect them to be doing a hosting on a stage or anything like that, but it was just them on Zoom. So the presentation was not particularly engaging, whereas the Indie World Showcase was, voiceovers, extremely cheesy, cringeworthy lines of voiceover, but it was pretty tightly edited with some... I like that format of like, you see a little bit of the trailer, then you meet the devs, then the goof nuggets hosting the Indie World Showcase make some weird jokes while they tell you how to play the game. I could definitely do without that last part, but I like the trailer and the meet the devs part. Especially, there was like just like two men frolicking in the woods when they were talking about their game. And at one point, the camera like it was I feel like it was on a dolly or something, but it like zoomed right back, and you just got like a full shot of their like pretty below average gamer fits, but like, it wasn't like particularly swaggy outfits, but. It was a very funny moment in a video that wasn't full of too many of them, so I appreciated it.
I think the ID at Xbox One was that was the Twitch gaming one.
Oh right, sure.
So I think they have they collaborate with Twitch gaming for those ones. So obviously, like the format determines what it winds up being, and if it's going to be on Twitch, then they value length on Twitch essentially. So yeah, that's kind of why I looked at the running time and I was like, nope, we're doing a compilation.
Yeah,
just,
totally.
Just give me the important bits.
If you're
but,
on the
some really good games shown.
Yeah, totally. Across, and if you're on the All the Small both. Games Discord, in the Xbox channel, I posted a pretty good video that just goes through every new indie game that was announced at ID at Xbox with none of the fluff around it.
That is the one I watched, Levins.
Yeah, excellent. There were some other announcements around that, and I found that both showcases, it just felt like a highlights reel of all of those E3 videos, E3 showcases that I forced myself to watch. No regrets. But yeah, it was cool to see both of them. There were a few ones that at E3 were only announced for PC, and now we know they're coming to either Xbox or Switch or both. So I've got an article on IGN of every indie announcement from ID at Xbox. If you want me to go through that,
hit it.
So we got Lightyear Frontier at the top here, and that is a game that combines open world farming and mechs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I remember that one. Sure, fine. I mean, I don't really have beef with any of these, but it doesn't look like something that I'm like, oh my god, I need to play this kind of thing.
This looks pretty early stages as well. I think we'll see a lot more of it later, because it doesn't come out till next year. We got the announcement, speaking of open world farming, Stardew Valley is coming to Game Pass later this year. We got a longer look at The Artful Escape, the Annapurna game that we got another longer look at during the Annapurna Interactive Showcase a couple weeks ago. That game still looks excellent.
Yes.
There is a new Sam and Max Save the World remaster available. It's bizarre that they're like, finally an updated version of the 2006 classic. Guys, that's not the classic Sam and Max game.
It really is not. Like, I replayed Sam and Max Hit the Road recently, and it's still a fantastic game. It's still hilarious. And I just see this new Sam and Max, and I'm kind of like, no, I don't particularly need this in my life.
This is Telltale Games made this one, didn't they?
I think so, yeah.
Like 3D, yeah. I want, what's the old engine that they used to make all those LucasArts games?
Scum.
Scum engine for life, baby. Bring it
back.
Yeah,
man. 100%.
Ollie, world player.
Love
Ollie
it. Ollie
World,
great.
Sorry, is coming out. You can customize your players, is what the trailer in the Xbox trailer thing showed off. And it's in 120 frames per second and 4K if your television and Xbox allows that. Ollie World will deliver.
Damn.
That is pretty fucking fast.
That's a lot of frames and a lot of resolution. Speaking of, I got my tax return recently and I am very much like...
OLED.
I was like, Joe, we need a new TV. She's like, why? I'm just like, we need it.
Yeah, you need a new TV and and you got to make sure you get a soundbar too.
Oh, I've got a soundbar.
Hell yeah, don't worry, you're already on the way.
Yeah, and I'm looking at an Xbox S. I'm just like,
ooh, yeah. You could probably get a little bit of money trading in your older Xbox.
What, my like 7-year-old day one Xbox One?
A little bit of money.
you pay us 50 cents to take this thing away and then you can buy an Xbox S for full price.
I mean, that thing is noisy as hell fan wise but it still plays all the games that Xbox are putting out at the moment, right?
Yeah, pretty, I mean, most of them. I noticed playing one thing I forgot to mention in my review of The Ascent last week is that like load times are brutal.
Right.
And I had a couple of crashes, but I can't 100% point the finger at the developers because I'm like, I'm playing on a 7-year-old console that I've never cleaned or done anything to, so it could be my fault. But anyway, Ollie, that's insane level of like frame rate and detail for the game. But hell, if you can do it, guys, do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of skating games coming out at the moment. In the indie world and also like outside of it, but Ollie World, like it really, like the more I see of it, it's really going to stand out. I hope that these guys nail it. The open world aspect of it looks so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the things I'm really excited for, is like more of an exploratory kind of feel to it rather than just a like start of level, end of level, get between the two,
do tricks. So then there is also a cyberpunk game set in Neo Barcelona called Aeon Drive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a demo available for it now, which, you know what, I probably already missed out on it somehow, but I do want to give it a shot. Did you have a look at this one? It's like a...
I've seen it. It was another one that I think was announced during E3.
Cool.
I haven't gone in on the demo. I did watch the trailer and think like, this looks like something Levins would be into.
Yeah, it's like kind of like cyberpunk parkour, speed runny. You know, yeah.
Rapid platformer kind of thing.
And it's coming out later this year. Then we also have Paparazzi, a game that was announced at E3, but it's coming to Game Pass later this year. Aragami 2 is coming to Game Pass in September. Evil Genius 2 World Domination. The less said about this, the better for me. Maybe it could be fun. I don't know. Like something in the final quarter of the year. It's like a villainy,
it's like a base,
simulator, right? Like
you're base, trying to be a bad base guy. Building kind of RTS-y sort of thing, where like you're an evil genius and you build up your lair and you can like lay traps for heroes that try to stop you and stuff like that.
You know what? That concept wise, that does sound fun. I just like the 3D artwork is nightmare fuel for my brain though. But if you can get past that, yeah, maybe there's a game to enjoy there.
It's very, what's that goddamn movie with, Despicable Me.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's big Gru energy.
Yeah.
Library of Ruina, spelt R-U-I-N-A. So maybe not pronounced Ruina, but I don't know. It's out. That was a little shadow drop, a launch on Game Pass. It's a library battle simulation. It has you battling other librarians using cards and dice to gain more books for your own library. That actually sounds really fun. I should give that a shot.
Sounds interesting.
We have another game that was shadow dropped in the Nintendo Indie World Showcase that also was came to Game Pass at the same time, and John's going to be reviewing that later. Boyfriend Dungeon, pretty exciting. So you have to work out what's more appealing to you, boyfriends or books, and then that's how you decide which of those two games you're going to play. Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous, which is a big what does the C in CRPG stand for? Classic?
Computer RPG or classic RPG?
Cool.
Yeah, one of the two.
So we mentioned mechs and farming and building earlier, and this is a similar vibe. It's called The Wandering Village, and this is a city-building game. However, the city that you're building takes place on top of a huge creature. I'm pretty excited about this.
I swear I've read that there are things you can do, that sort of steer the way the creature walks.
Yeah, because the whole time your village, the village that you're building, is literally wandering around, bumping into other villages.
Yeah, so I was hoping they'd show a little bit of that in the gameplay footage they had, but they didn't. I did like at the end of the you pull back to see the creature the village is on, just as the creature's walking past, the long dead corpse of another creature. And I'm like, ooh, that's a nice little touch in the trailer. But yeah, that's one game that I kind of wanted a little bit more of a deep dive of gameplay information on.
And yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was one thing missing from this showcase was conversations with the devs. Yeah. About the games. Then we have Wandering Village is coming out in December. Then there is a puzzler called Lab Rat, which looks a little bit like Death Squared, actually. It's a isometric top down.
I watched colorful. The trailer and I went, wait a minute.
with a
sassy
lot of
computer.
Yeah,
I know this one.
Portal kind of mechanics as well.
That looks good. I'm into it.
Yep, those kind of games are always super fun. There is a game called RPG Time, The Legend of Wright, which is a handmade RPG that takes place in a young student's notebook. Have we talked about this game before? I feel like it's showed up in the past.
It's 100% shown up in the past. I don't think we've discussed it that much.
Yeah.
Is it a big vibe for you?
I think aesthetically it looks really cool. Like obviously everything you're playing. Yeah, it was announced in 2019 in Xbox's E3 showcase. It's coming out this year, supposedly, being made by Deskworks. I'm excited for it. I think I love that it's all like black and white, hand drawn, but then you can also see the desk around it. And I imagine the person creating the RPG will factor into the gameplay.
Be
it through rubbing things, erasing things and drawing stuff. It sounds like it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of paper,
interesting take on the genre.
Inked, A Tale of Love is a love story puzzle game, which is kind of like a beautiful watercolor kind of style. Like
hand-drawn, yeah.
Yeah.
Hand-drawn illustrations. Yep.
That's coming out on August 27. We got a big I don't know if this was announced as coming for Xbox, but one of your favorite games from E3 this year, John, The Big Con.
Yes.
Is coming out this month.
Oh hell yes.
On August 31st. This is do you want to give us a quick little primer of what this game is all about, set in the 90s.
So basically you play a young girl who your mother owns a video store and she's gone into debt with the mob And so you set off on a road trip to basically grift and con people and try and make up enough money to pay back your mother's debt and save their video store. It's got a really cool visual style, kind of like reminiscent of like a 90s Nickelodeon cartoon kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it looks like it's going to be just a real fun little like adventurous crime simulator.
Yeah, it's been published by Skybound Games, who are the it's like Robert Kirkman, who does Walking Dead. That's his comics imprint, also doing games. Nice. And this is the game that was introduced by Melissa Joan Hart.
Okay.
In the original in the big drop at E3 this year. So I don't know if she features as a voice or they're just like, hey, who's someone from the '90s? Get Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Who's still alive?
Yeah, yeah.
Salem's dead. Get me Sabrina.
So yeah, August 31st. I don't know if it's coming to Game Pass. It might be one of those games that's an Xbox exclusive without being on Game Pass, which people get upset about, but whatever. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
I think like these games, you know, we talk about how beautiful Death's Door was and how complete it felt. And I feel like maybe the only way they were able to do that was by giving themselves exclusivity to Xbox and getting the boost of money that comes with that. And maybe the big con is similar. The Veil, Shadow of the Crown. John, guess what kind of game this is?
Oh, it's definitely got to be erotic first-person shooter.
Close. It's an audio-only game.
Oh, okay.
That has you playing a blind adventurer who has just been made warden of a small castle on the outskirts of a kingdom. And it's
That's
coming
interesting.
Out on August 19.
I take back my previous glib statement.
Yeah, totally. Space Lines from the Far Out, a procedurally generated co-op adventure set where you run a intergalactic travel company, is coming out later this year. That could be fun.
I saw it. It was like, reminded me a little of Lovers in Dangerous Space Time, just in the way you appear to be running around trying to take care of tasks simultaneously.
Yeah, except without the charming art style that Lovers had.
Yes.
This is pretty generic 3D. Most of the time you listen to podcasts and people complain about pixel art all looking the same. Not this one. I always complain about things not being pixel art. And it never gets old. So let's move over to the Indie World Showcase. Now, Indie World Showcase was announced like the day before, maybe even less time, like less than a day before, because as soon as Nintendo announced anything, people just go insane with speculation. The real idiots of the world will be like, oh, they're going to announce a new Smash Brothers character. And it's like, dude. Yeah,
it's an like, indie showcase.
Yeah, exactly. But then the just as stupid idiots of the world will be like, oh, cool, we're finally getting Silk Song news.
Yes, of course.
And what people who don't like, I mean, like these Indie World Showcases, it's to spotlight, it's to give a little bit more attention to indie games. Hollow Knight, and everything spins off of that, especially Silk Song, the direct sequel to Hollow Knight, does not need any extra attention.
No.
They're not going to hide this in an Indie World showcase. I would even be surprised if this showed up in a Nintendo Direct, unless Nintendo paid them the big bucks to do it. I think because like Hollow Knight, you know, that was developed by an Australian team called Team Cherry. It was originally came out as a PC game, then it hit PlayStation, then it hit was it Switch, then PlayStation, then Xbox, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was Switch first.
But it sold a million copies like the week before it came to Switch, and then sold like 250,000 copies on Switch in its first month, and by like I'm looking at stats now, it sold more, almost like just shy of 3 million in February 2019. Given that everyone was stuck inside last year and it's probably like, you know, bored of Animal Crossing, the game that they bought their Switch for, what else am I going to play next? I don't know, I'll Google best games to play on Switch. Hollow Knight is always in those top 10 lists. I don't think I reckon it sold at least 5 million copies across all consoles.
100%.
And I would even go as far to say that it is probably in the top 20 best-selling games on Switch, selling at least 2, 3, 4 million copies on Switch. So I think like when that game is announced, like one, it's not going to get announced until Team Cherry is absolutely ready, because as soon as people can criticize something about like this beloved thing, they will. And two, yeah, I don't think they have any reason to announce it in an Indie World showcase.
Like, no, it will. It like, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is big enough news to stand by itself.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't even need, like, all Team Cherry needs to do is tweet a date. And within a day, everyone in the world who needs to know about Silksong will know about it. It needs nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. That said, just looking through at recent Indie World showcases, 4 months ago, in April, we got an Indie World showcase that got 10 million views on YouTube. That's pretty insane. Like, the majority of other ones get around between like 500,000 to just shy of 1 million. But for some reason, the April one... Why would the April one have gotten 10 million views, John?
What was in it?
The Spelunky announcement?
Let me see if I can find out. Indie
Road
World.
96, Last Stop, Hindsight, Ollie the Ollie World, The Longing, There Is No Game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Chris Tales, Getsufumiden, Aztec, Skull, Art of Rally, Kiwi, Labyrinth City, Weaving Tides, House of the Dead remake, Ender Lilies, Beasts of Maravilla Island, Fez, and Oxenfree 2.
I mean, look, there's definitely some solid games in there, but nothing that I would be like, that's worth 10 million views.
Maybe it's this, like, the going off the stream versus the... I don't know. Very strange.
Could be.
I reckon, Hollow Knight's definitely getting 10 million views when they announce the sequel on YouTube. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But hey, we're not here to talk about that. And neither were Nintendo when they did their Indie World Showcase last week. John, was there anything that stood out from you? Or do you want me to just go through that goddamn list?
I mean, you can go through the list and I can call out the ones that are... that sort of really caught my eye. Mm-hmm. How do you want to play this, buddy? Are you tired of list reading?
No, I love to read a list. Everyone knows that about me.
Dive in. Let's do this.
I love indie games, my children, and reading lists. In that order. I love reading lists of indie games that I can't play because my children are home 24/7 during lockdown.
They sleep at some point.
Yeah, it's tough. But then I've got to, like, you know, bond with my wife. Which I love. Number
who,
four
who
on the list.
Did not make your list of things you love.
Okay, so we got a bunch of shadow drops. Should we talk about the shadow drops? Mm. Pretty exciting. We got Axiom Verge 2. That was the big surprise, I guess, because I knew that was coming at some point. Beloved Metroidvania that was made by one dude. It was a close to launch title on Switch. I remember it came out pretty early. The Switch port of it came out pretty early in the Switch lifespan. I never finished it, but it's good. It's kind of closer in visual style to the first Metroid on NES than Super Metroid, but lots of crazy abilities. There were a lot of games that were announced that came out that day. We had Boyfriend Dungeon, which, John, you can end the show talking about your experiences with.
Definitely.
Pretty heavy hitter, though. And we got... I should have a goddamn list.
Islanders, Garden mm-hmm. Story, Axiom Verge 2, Boyfriend Dungeon. I feel like there were two more. I swear someone on our Discord said there were six shadow drops.
Necro Barista. Final
yep.
Pour. And yeah, there was Islanders.
That
console
bugs
edition.
Me because the final cup is right there. Like
final pour. I don't know. Yeah, final cup.
It sounds like cut.
Slime Rancher Portable Edition.
That's the other one.
And Curious Expedition.
Curious Expedition 2.
So seven games shadow dropped. And some of them crazy, like Garden Story. One of my more eagerly awaited games from E3 this year. I'll definitely be going in on that. I've already picked up Islanders. That game looks super chill.
Okay.
It's really cheap too. It was $8.50 on the eShop. It's a relaxing, procedurally generated strategy game that has you developing islands as you see fit. And as soon as you decide that one of your islands is complete, you just jump onto another one and build another one. It seems like a city builder that doesn't have any stress involved. But I'll report on that next week once I've played some of it.
That reminds me. I need to... I'm Googling something, but it's a game that I really think Archie would like. Keep going through the list, and I'll tell you.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, Axiom Verge 2. Yeah, a game that I was like, you know, it's on my eventual... as soon as I finish the first Axiom Verge, hopefully I'll finish it before Axiom Verge 2 comes out. Unfortunately, I did not. But I definitely want to go in on Axiom Verge 2 at some point. It is a prequel, so maybe I could just go straight into this one without finishing the first one. We got Tetris Effect Connected, a game which I adore. I played it. I have it on PlayStation and Xbox. I have it for the PSVR. But now it's coming on Switch, and you can play it with in portable mode. This is a game that when I play it on my good television and in VR, my eyes hurt because I don't blink for 15 whole minutes.
You remove the VR headset and your eyeballs just come with it.
And cleverly, this is coming out on October the 8th, which is the same day that the Switch OLED model comes out. I imagine that will look very, very good on that OLED screen.
Especially outdoors.
Yeah, definitely. Bomb Rush Cyberfunk is a spiritual successor to Jet Set Radio.
Looks and it cool.
It even has the same music by the same dude, Hideki Naganuma. It's coming out next year as a console exclusive, timed console exclusive to Switch. And yeah, it's like a... I can't remember if are you skateboarding or rollerblading in this one.
You've got like rollerblade jet boots sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you could you dance and do tricks and like do graffiti, some cool graph on the walls. Yeah, looks fun.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Now we said it could never happen, but one of our favorite games of the year, Loop Hero, which is the only game that I've played on my computer in years, and John's sunk many hours into on his PC, is coming to Switch. I'm very curious as to how it's going to work on Switch, because this is it's a card-based RPG roguelite where you aren't playing as the character. You are setting up the course for the character to move around and like trying to keep him alive as long as possible and give him what he needs to beat all the monsters that he encounters as you expand the world that he loops around. And yeah, it's a lot of like dragging and dropping and item management when you play it on PC. I'm sure they'll be able to make it work on Switch. I'm very curious as to how Devolver Digital are publishing it later this year.
They've got to use the touchscreen. That's all I can say. I'll eat my Switch if they don't use the touchscreen.
But you can't use the touchscreen if you're playing docked mode.
That's true.
Looks like this motherfucker's going to eat a Switch. Just in time for the OLED edition to come out. We got a longer look at Eastwood, the post-apocalyptic action-adventure RPG that's being published by...
Chucklefish.
Chucklefish, who have done many games, including Stardew Valley, in the past. This was revealed a couple years ago. It looks really great. Has big Earthbound vibes, but it's an action game as opposed to an RPG. I'm keen as for this one.
And yeah, definitely. This is
September 16th.
This was on my list.
Almost all of these had dates attached to them, which was very cool. This next game did not have a date attached to it, but God, the longer that this game is out of my life for, the better, because it is going to destroy me. Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. A puzzle adventure starring Shovel Knight. And it is like a falling block puzzle adventure where you like dig your way out of the blocks as they fall around you. You play as Shovel Knight, but it still has like a match three blocks kind of vibe. And it's also got dungeon crawling elements, and there's bosses and treasure and looting, and like you get cool power-ups. Man, this will absolutely fuck me up so bad. You can play as all of the different knights from the Shovel Knight universe, all 10 of them. And there's even local multiplayer. And if you're an idiot like me, you have the Shovel Knight amiibo. Some of you might even have four of them, but I'm not quite that idiotic. And you can use them to call on a fairy version of like a little tiny fairy knight that dances around your character and assists you as the blocks fall around you.
Was that a direct dig at someone who has four Shovel Knight amiibos?
No, I don't know anyone who does. So, but if you do, no offense. I envy you. I wish I was dumb as you are. This was an extremely exciting announcement. We saw the game announced at E3. It was one of our highlights, Metal Slug Tactics.
Ooh.
But there was no announcement for anything besides PC. And we got the confirmation that this is coming to Switch in 2022. It's being developed by Dotemu, not Dotemu.
Freaks me out that.
Yeah, it's a really gorgeously animated tactical RPG using all the characters from the beloved
Metal Slug.
Yeah, did I say Metal Gear or Metal Slug? Definitely said Metal Slug, right?
I probably said Metal Gear. Anyway, Metal Slug. Yeah, it looks. Yeah, it's got all the classic enemies, all the like. Yeah,
all those mechs.
I'm looking forward. I have a soft spot for Metal Slug.
Me too. I used to pump. When we used to do bowling at my school on Thursdays for sport for like one term of the year. And they would let you out at like 2:30 and we would always spend like an hour at the bowling alley playing Metal Slug.
Nice. That was one of those games where if ever I was near an arcade and it had it, I'd just stare at the game.
Yes, it's a good one to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Some of the best pixel art animation you'll ever see. Another one that was announced as a PC only game at E3, Toem, the photo, like a kind of relaxing, isometric, photographic adventure game, and you basically set off on an adventure through like a countryside, and you got to take photos and do side quests for people, meet a whole bunch of weird characters. That's coming later this year.
Looks great! Very excited. Yeah.
We're getting a sequel to Far Changing Tides. Sorry, Far Lone Sails. We're getting a sequel to that one. And it's called Changing Tides. Reviewed that on the podcast. I believe you played it before we started the podcast. Or maybe I think we've both reviewed it independently of each other.
Yeah, I swear my review is in like the first 10 episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, when we used to review like 20 games in one episode.
Oh my God. I'm really excited for Far Changing Tides. I think it looks great.
I'm in the middle of playing a little bit of Inside at the moment for our Patreon only Game of the Month Club upcoming episode. And Inside is like a Limbo like that kind of improves on, like, you know, obviously made by the same devs as Limbo. It's very much like difficult puzzle, you're dying heaps, that kind of element. But this is like a very chilled take on a Limbo like, where you are a little dude trying to keep a weird future boat afloat.
Yes. In the previous game, you had a kind of land boat. So I'm very curious to see if there's a connection between the two games. Is there any similar, like, is it a narrative that's continued or anything like that? Because from memory, the first game ends with you staring out at the ocean. So I wonder if the little guy from the first game has returned for the second one and finally got their hands on a boat.
Yep.
But you're exploring a post-apocalyptic world. Definitely this is one that I'm very eager to get my hands on.
Necrobarista Final Pour is the director's cut release of Necrobarista, which I played a tiny bit of on Apple Arcade last year. It was developed in Melbourne. It's like a combination of like coffee culture and fantasy, and then it's a bit of a visual novel kind of vibe. It's quite cinematic, supposedly. And the director's cut has additional story content and remastered visuals. And is already out now. Boyfriend Dungeon, that got announced. More on that in a moment. Garden Story, that got announced. I'm keen as fuck for this game. It looks like, I mean, we were a bit like bummed by the short length of Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, and this just looks like, it's so funny. It's like a vegetable based top down Zelda inspired adventure game. Except this also has like farming, right? As well.
Yeah, it's got and like building. If I'm thinking of the same game from memory, it's like Garden Story takes place. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of a different game. It like takes place after the story of you beating a great evil, and it's about you rebuilding the town you're from.
Yeah, that's fun.
But maybe another different game.
Yeah, you're on an island that's infested with an invasive rot.
Mm.
You've got to rebuild. I can't wait for this one. I think that the goal is finish Dodgeball Academia, finish Chicory, and then go in on this one with Archie.
Nice.
while playing way too many rounds of Boomerang Foo. Islanders console edition dropped. Definitely check this one out if like my description of it was enticing to you at all. It's just a really chill looking city builder. And if you, I would much rather do this than fucking just doom scroll through my phone at the end of every day.
Which I found the game I mentioned I was Googling earlier on that I thought Archie would appreciate. I've discovered it's only on PC, which womp womp.
Yeah.
Got to wait for that Steam Deck to come out. It's called Dorf Romantic. D O R F R O M A N T I K. And it's basically a strategy slash puzzle game where you build a city by dropping tiles. And so you have a stack of tiles that are kind of dished up to you one by one. And the better you do in completing little quests, the more tiles you're given.
Yeah, cool.
Have a look at it, see what you think. Don't know if it's worth buying a PC for, but yeah, I thinking about it then, I was like, hey, I reckon Archie would probably appreciate this. It definitely has the feel of like some of the board games he likes.
Yeah, sick. That's great. So we're on the last home stretch now. We've got like the classic thing where they just cram a bunch of games into a montage. So there was, Slime Rancher Portable Edition. I've played the first Slime Rancher on PlayStation. It's a lot of fun. You're like...
Didn't you scare the crap out of Archie with it?
Yeah, man. A lot of fun. Curious Expedition 2. I don't know anything about that game.
I played the first one. I'm tempted by the second.
Would you say you're curious for the second?
Yeah. I'm curious to Expedition in it. It's a game where you play like famous explorers and you go out on expeditions to try find things and become the best explorer of your time. It looks like in this one they've like added in a turn-based combat element and yeah, I'm definitely curious to take a look.
Fantastic. And then we have a game I'm really excited for. I didn't even realize it exists. It came out in 2019 on Steam. It is called 100 Days Winemaking Simulator. I want to test that out. It's coming to Switch later this year.
I played a demo a while back, and it's very much like I'm interested in it, but it's the sort of game where I want to get
drunk.
Someone I know that makes wine and watch them. We know
20.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Let's get them in.
A lot of our friends make wine, guys.
Some people have midlife crises.
Our friends make wine.
I'd love to, because there were a bunch of like cooking games unveiled at E3.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get like Mitch Orr to play some of them and have him review which are his favorites. I want to get winemaking friends to play 100 days.
My co-host on my old food podcast, The Mitchin, Mitch Orr and Mike Eggert both bought Switches on the same
day.
That's
right. Yeah.
So that they are, I have recommended a few cooking games to them, but Mitch is only interested in sports games, and Mike is just buying everything. He bought a
cool
1 terabyte memory card, and he just plans to fill it.
Oh, shit, that's impressive.
Yeah, he was like, he hasn't played a video game in decades, and he sent me a screenshot of Cuphead and said, "This looks cool." And I was like, "Oh, dude, it's really hard." But I wrote it back like an hour later, and he was like, "Yeah, man, this game's fucking intense. Like, this game's impossible."
I gotta say, I'm disappointed in Mitch
for not doing just sports games.
Just sports games. Boo.
Hey, he can grow. It's only been a month. He'll grow.
True.
And when I say sports games, it's like Mario Golf, Mario Kart, Mario Tennis.
So he's into Mario games.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Gang Beasts is coming later this year.
That'll be fun.
Classic four-player party game. Astroneer and Lumberjack are both coming out next year.
Lumberjack looks good. I'm into that.
What's it about? I completely forget it.
It's like a you play as a bear and you kind of got to like tend to the woods. And yes.
A game called Tend to the Woods. That's appealing.
Yeah. So those are the two showcases. So obviously a lot of really exciting stuff in the future. A lot of exciting stuff now, thanks to Shadow Drop galore on the latest and Nintendo indie world.
Before you continue this, John, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Point.
Thanks, sponsor. Now, John, you were doing an incredible segue, and I'm sorry that I fucked it up for you. But blame our beautiful sponsors.
God bless our sponsors. So a bunch of games shadow dropped, one of which, Boyfriend Dungeon, I've been interested in for a while.
As a fan of both Boyfriends and Dungeons.
Yeah. Saw it in the shop and was like, let's do this. It's time.
Did you get it on Switch or did you get it on Xbox? Because that shit is on Game Pass. Oh, wow. This big spender.
Yeah. I did get paid and my tax return on the same day. So I looked at my bank account and was like, I'm the richest I've ever been. Like, went straight to the Switch store. So Boyfriend Dungeon, you play a character. You can choose whether you want to be male or female. Who has been sent to the town, the beachside town of Verona Beach, for the summer. You meet up with your cousin, Jesse, who is like, hey, we're going to get you on so many dates this summer. We're going to build up your confidence, and who knows, maybe you'll find the one you love in Verona Beach. Oh, by the way, like the hip new fitness craze in town is called dunging. It's where you explore dungeons and clear out monsters, and the monsters are based on your fears. And the way you do this dungeoning is you connect up with people that turn into weapons. You know, like, okay, it's a lot to take in the first couple of minutes. But you're like, okay, he's like, I've arranged your first date. It is with a fencing instructor who will kind of introduce you to, you know, taking on dungeons and stuff like that. And thus begins the game, which is a combination of dungeon crawler and dating sim. So you, over the course of the game, you meet, I want to say, seven people, maybe six, or six weapons or seven weapons, one of the two, who also double as people, except for one of the weapons, which is a cat. And you kind of have, through a series of dates and interactions, you decide whether you want to be romantically involved with this person, or whether you just want to be friends, or whether you don't like them at all. It's a really interesting combination of game mechanics. I'm definitely far more familiar with a dungeon crawler. It definitely has a kind of roguelike-ish feeling in that sort of sense. You descend into the dungeon, you fight these monsters. There will be instances throughout the dungeon where you can stop and have a little kind of romantic moment with whichever weapon you're fighting with, which then increases their love score. The more you increase the love score of the weapon, the more kind of like upgrades and moves you unlock with said weapon. So like mm-hmm. when you reach relationship level 2, you might be able to like, you know, your finisher move for a combo might cause the enemy to bleed and you'll do more damage with the weapon and that kind of thing. So there definitely is a gameplay incentive to kind of date all the weapons and form relationships with them. As I said, they don't necessarily need to be romantic relationships. You can make it so that you're just friends with these people. I very much enjoyed the game. The Skinner box element of like go into a dungeon, improve both your skill and your weapon skill. Rinse, repeat, go back, but more equipped this time. You know, able to do better damage and get further in the dungeon. That element of it really hooked me in. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. As for the dating element of the game, this is by no means a criticism of the game itself. I just don't think it's a genre for me.
Yeah, right.
In this instance, and I hate to get all heteronormative with you here, the fact that, I mean, it's called Boyfriend Dungeon. The majority of the people you can date in the game are men, or at least, you know, non-binary people that lean more towards the male side. There is one woman in the game, and I did wind up gravitating most towards her. But that's just
coward,
because...
John. You're a coward. Huh? You're a coward.
No, I did hook up with the fencing instructor that you start the game with.
Yep.
But that's primarily because I found so many of the other dudes to be so annoying.
Oh,
like,
right.
There's this really... Like, one of the characters you meet is a really morose K-pop star who's like... He's just such a bummer that I'm just like, I can't pursue you romantically because you're just this huffy dude about everything. There's another guy who's like a warlock and he is also like really self-important and huffy. There is a kind of swarthy lover type guy who is very pushy, and I kind of immediately was like, no thanks. That's not what I like. Like, the fencing dude is this like investment banker guy who's like very polite and very well-mannered and very refined. And I was like, your character model's hot. Cool, let's hook up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just most of the people in it, I was like, I find you really annoying in real life. And I can't put that aside enough to think, like, to lose myself in my experience of this game.
I'm not sure if you can date him, but I know that one of the voice actors for one of the characters who is, like, I guess, like a bad guy has been... like getting like swarms of hate mail and death threats because they don't like his character.
Look, I've seen that like the developer of the game has had to, because there's like a content warning at the beginning of the game that's like, hey, throughout the game you might experience like stalking and like unwanted advances and other potentially triggering situations. Just letting you know for what you're in for. And people have been complaining, like, you made it sound like that stuff was optional, not part of the main game that you need to go through to advance the story. You need to change the trigger warning and make sure that it's kind of, like, more specific that that stuff is what you'll have to experience. Like, the guy who plays, I guess, what you would call the villain of the game, his character is odious. He is a horrible person. Like, real incel vibes to him, and like he hates people that can turn into weapons, and he talks about purity and all this stuff in, you know, with other really uncomfortable language. I'll admit, I like from the get-go, because he desperately wants to date you, and from the get-go I was like, no good sir, you will not get your hands on this. And I just think that's it's representative of what a great job the developer has done, and even the voice actor has done, in creating this character as being like eliciting such a strong emotional response.
Yeah, he tweeted, his name is Octopimp on Twitter, and he said, I can't believe I have to address this, but please don't send me hate messages about my character in Boyfriend Dungeon. I know he sucks, but I'm just his voice actor. Please be respectful.
Another instance of, God, I love games, and God, I hate the people that play games.
Yep.
So what I'm saying basically is like, it's not that I hated the dating element of it. I just was kind of like, okay, well, none of these people are for me, so I'll just navigate this as best as I can and do what needs to be done to ensure that I can keep leveling up my swords. that's not a criticism of a good game. That's just a comment on my, like, mismatch between a dating sim and you know, my personal taste in games. I think if you're into dating sims, this is you'll have a lot of fun. I think it's a really interesting match that works very well. The kind of, like, having to perform a social function to improve your weapons, which makes the dungeon part of it a lot more enjoyable. What I've been saying about dating sims aside, there are some weird things in the game. Like, one of the characters, the really swarthy lover guy that I was talking about earlier on, you have several characters warn you about him. Like, ooh, watch yourself with that guy. Like, he likes to break hearts and leave them in his past, kind of thing. And I was like, my second meeting with this guy, I was like, yeah, I don't really think I like you like that. So let's just be friendly. Let's not actually pursue romance. And was adamant about that to this character. But throughout the game, I had people going like you know, one of this, a lot of your communication happens through text messages, and you, one of the people you text message with is your mum. She, your character's mother, will like message you and check in on how you're going. And at one part of the game, she's like, oh, your cousin tells me that you're falling in with this guy who might not be a good kind of person, speaking about this, you know, his name's Sunder. Speaking about this Sunder guy. And I was like, I have not pursued a romance with this dude in any way, shape, or form. Why do people keep looking out for me and trying to warn me away from him? Like, nothing I have done has suggested I'm romantically inclined towards this person. So that was something I found kind of strange. You also, like, to help improve your love rank with characters, you can, like, you find blueprints in the dungeon of things you can make, and you can give them some of them as gifts. But some gifts resonate better with some characters, but it's very hard to work out how, like, which ones. Because very rarely will they suggest, like, you know, hey, I, like, you know, there are some instances, like, one of the characters who's, like, a young kid who's in university, he talks a lot about a band that he really likes, and you can buy tickets to that band and give it to him as a gift. Cool, that's easy to navigate. But, like, a bunch of other gifts, I was just like, I'll randomly try give this to you and see how it goes. And if the person, if you get, like, a lackluster response, you've wasted that gift and can't actually, like, get it back or make it again or anything like that. So a little bit more of a hint, or, like, if you could look up these characters and have a little bit of a, like, running sort of dossier on, like, this person is adventurous and wants to travel the world. And then I'd know, like, okay, I'll give them this tourist brochure that I've made for, like, an exotic faraway destination. They'd probably appreciate that. Take a bit of the guesswork out of it. And I don't think, like, obviously, I started playing it fairly early on before I could look up a guide and be like, oh, this gift I need to give to this person, kind of thing. So I think it's not been, it definitely didn't make me reevaluate how I feel about dating sims. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely a very enjoyable experience, and I applaud Kit Fox, the developer, for creating such an interesting blend of gaming genres and doing it well enough, like, it was enough fun for me to finish the game.
Cool. So you actually finished it. Holy moly.
Yeah. And the credits have like a rhythm game in it, which I was like, cool. That's a tiny detail, but one you rarely see where, like, developers will do something to make the credits fun.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite, when you get to, like, shoot everyone's names or something.
Yeah,
all games should have that.
Yeah, so that's Boyfriend Dungeon. It's definitely out on Switch, which I guess would mean it's out on PC as well. You say it's out on Xbox?
Yep, on Game Pass.
Yeah, so do yourself a solid if you like romance and you like battling, and pick it up.
Unreal. Well, that is John's review of Boyfriend Dungeon, and I'll do some actual reviewing next week, not just reading of lists, unless
you email us and say, no, don't do that. Read lists only for the rest of your life. And you can email us.
Email us a list for Levins to read.
allthesmallgames@gmail.com. Every email it gets replied to with an invite to our Discord, which you can also join by heading to our Patreon at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Support the show at $5 a month, and you will not only get access to our Discord, but also you will get both of our monthly Patreon podcasts, one of which we need to record this week, I think, John. We do two podcasts. One of them is the Game of the Month Club, in which we do a deep dive into a bunch of classic indie games, including The Stanley Parable, Bastion, and VVVVVV. And this month we are doing the game Inside. On top of that, we also have another podcast called All the Other Things, in which John and I talk about the other media we've been consuming that is not indie game related. So look forward to those if you are already a Patreon. And if not, why not come and join us over at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Support the show and get access to a bunch of awesome content and a great community to talk to about indie games nonstop, should you need it. John, if you want to find him online, he is at 16 tacos on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm at levdog. And very, very soon you'll be able to go to a very professional looking website for all the small games, because one of our listeners, Luke, has been doing it out of the goodness of his own heart. Everyone, if they could just take one moment now to look to the sky and put your hands together and say thank you, Luke. After you, John.
Thank you. Wait. Thank you, Luke.
Beautiful. Just like John. Thanks, Luke. Looking forward to that website dropping and looking forward to discussing more perfect indie games next week with you, John.
Have you got any... do you know what you're going to be playing for next week?
Hopefully, I will have finished Dodgeball Academia. I will have started Garden Story. I don't know. What do you think? Do I try and finish Chicory? It's good, but it's just like I'm always wanting to talk about the new shit, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what new shit we'll have to talk about by next week.
Fuck, it's 12 minutes out this week.
12 minutes, baby!
God, damn it. Hell yes. Plus, I just got codes for Ender Lilies and fucking Thingo Souls. Soulsy McGee.
Elder Souls?
Elder Souls, that's the one. So definitely want to put some time into that. They are definitely wait for the kids to go to bed games too.
What about the wife?
We'll see what she thinks about me swearing loudly as I do the same thing over and over again. I'm a great guy to be married to. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.